I've been looking. The message I've got today is one that has been brewing in my heart for a few weeks. So bear that in mind as things come out. But it's I've been looking at and studying in a particular book, a book called The Culture of Honor by a guy called Danny Silk. And I've been meditating a lot in Ephesians. Thank you, Culture of Honor. And as I've meditated in Ephesians, I began to see and understand that the presence of God amongst us, the manifest presence of God amongst us, the power of his Holy Spirit in us is dependent on how we treat one another. And actually, if we live in a culture of honor where we honor what God is doing, then he's able to move by the power of his Spirit in amongst us. It's not working, okay. I'm vamping anyway. But in Ephesians 1, before I even look at these slides, it says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, the hope to which he has called you, to the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power toward us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead." It's a massive, powerful piece of scripture. Just waking up my technology. Hold on. And as I've meditated on this, it says that we would actually know the riches of his inglorious inheritance in the saints. Whose inheritance is in the saints?
Jesus.
Thank you. Jesus has an inheritance in the saints. Jesus has an inheritance in the saints. And Paul is praying that people would know how glorious that inheritance in the saints is. That your eyes would be open, that the Spirit would come upon you, and you would see how glorious is Jesus' inheritance in the saints. Who are the saints? Yeah. So Paul is praying that you and I would have a spirit of revelation, our eyes opened, our hearts aware to see what is Jesus' inheritance in the saints. Wow, it's pretty amazing. And I think if we begin to understand and put ourselves in that position where we're looking for the inheritance that is belonging to Jesus in one another, we will enter into a culture of honor where God receives glory and he can actually bring his presence and his glory amongst us. And it's just amazing. I've got a quote and I'm not sure I'll be able to find it now, but we'll see. Romans 12:10 here. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Honor is spoken about quite a lot in scripture. And a quote from Danny Silk's book, it's woken up, here it is. It says, honor is one of the most vital core values for creating a safe place where people can be free. Wow. You want to feel free? You want to feel safe? You want to feel secure? Absolutely we do. Well, this guy believes that actually having honor in the way we are towards one another will create a safe environment. Because when we see what God is doing in one another, then we'll begin to trust that God is at work and actually lean on him and not to our own understanding. Honor protects the value that people have for those who are different than they are. I'll read that bit again. Honor protects the value that people have for those who are different than they are. Is there anybody in this congregation who's different to you? Everybody, you hope. So, honour protects, will protect the values you have for everybody else. Because everybody's different to me, praise God. Everybody's different. And actually by looking to honour what God's call, what God's gift, what God's grace has put into people, will help us to protect the worth and value we put on one another. And it's just an amazing thing when we begin to see people through the eyes of God. So it was great to pray for Elliot this morning and pray and say, how do I look at Elliot? Is he a sweet little chap with curly hair sitting in the front? Or is he someone, which he is, or is he someone who has been breathed into existence? The Spirit of God breathed and gave him life. An existence which God conceived before the foundation of the world and had gifts, gifting and calling lined up for him that he would walk in them. It says that in Ephesians, that there are good things, good works already lined up that he could walk in them. So how do I look at him? Do I look at him just, he's just a little boy? Or do I look at him as someone who is created in the image of God to do awesome and amazing things for the glory of God? I want to see him as someone created in the image of God, available and ready to do awesome things for the glory of God. And that's how I want to see everybody. I want to see everyone from God's perspective. It's interesting that honour in the Bible is one of the commandments that says honour your father and mother. And it's interesting that honour is one of those characteristics that comes with a promise that goes with it. And the promise is life. Honour gives life. Because it says honour your father and mother that you may live long and that you be well. It talks about honouring widows and honour those who teach. You know, I will skip over that one. But honouring is really important, and a culture of honour is really important to us. And I believe it's a way of maintaining the flow of the Spirit. The more I look through Ephesians and how certainly the first four chapters of Ephesians are about who we are in Christ and who we are as a body in Christ, and how the glory of God and the presence of His Spirit comes into that culture where we're one anothering, where we're loving one another. So Paul here writes in Ephesians 4, keeping in the spirit, I've headed this. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. What makes the way we walk worthy of our calling? That which God has breathed into us and put before us. That we have humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, as you were called, in one hope of your calling. One. We go, oh, preserve the unity of the Spirit. Notice it says the unity of the Spirit, because the unity of the faith comes later when we get mature. So we don't all have to think alike. We don't have to have the same theology. We don't have to believe the same thing. But what we should be is have unity in the Spirit, because we're sealed, it says in Ephesians, sealed by the Holy Spirit to be sons of God, children of God. We're sealed. And if we recognize that in one another, that will give us unity. It's not saying I have to like everybody. It's not saying I have to agree with everybody. It's not saying I might not be offended by people, but I can be united with people because I am born of the same Spirit. I am sealed of the same Spirit. And he says, because you've been called, because you've been sealed, then move this way. Move with humility. Move with gentleness. Move with patience, tolerance, kindness and love. A bit later in the same chapter, he says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do you want to be a grace giver? I do. I want to be a grace giver. Wasn't sure if anybody else did, but I want to be a grace giver. It says, and then it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So actually the words that spill out of our mouths can actually offend the Holy Spirit. And the picture of the Holy Spirit coming on Jesus when he was anointed was a picture of a dove. You imagine a dove sitting on your shoulder. How are you going to move around? How are you going to be? You want to keep the dove sitting there on your shoulder. Going to be gentle. Move carefully. We're not going to react to things. And we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit who is given to us. It's interesting because as we were praying just in the prayer meeting before we started, Kevin read the second scripture I've got on this screen. I thought he'd actually read my notes already. Because he prayed out and just prayed out that I think what is in the heart of the Lord. I really want to believe that here is a place where God wants to pour out his Spirit. He wants to manifest the presence of his Spirit. He wants to manifest his glory amongst us. I believe that. I believe that's what God wants for us here, that we would show his glory to the neighborhood, that there would be such a powerful presence of God amongst us that even as people walk past that door, they will be arrested by the Holy Spirit and come collapsing over the threshold in repentance under the power of God. Or they'll drive up in the car park not knowing why they're coming here, but they'll be drawn by the glory of God in the midst of his people. But we have to be careful not to grieve that presence of the Holy Spirit. We have to love his appearing. We have to give affection to the Holy Spirit. And one way we do that is in the way we treat one another, because we are created in his image. We are his beloved. We are the bride of Christ. We are sons of the King. So in Romans 4:14 here it says, so then pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Actually building one another up. It's tricky, not always easy. Psalm 133, which is what Kevin read in the prayer meeting. It's a powerful, short little song. And I haven't put it all on here, just a couple of verses. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down to the edge of his robes. And there's a lot more in the psalm. It's only short. It's worth reading. Who was Aaron? A priest. Yes, Moses' brother. He was the priest. Who are we before the throne of God? We're priests. Priests. Royal priesthood. How good and how pleasant it is for the brothers to dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil. What does the oil represent in the Bible? There's somebody awake. The Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So when the brothers dwell together in unity, it's like the Holy Spirit is poured out on the head of the priesthood. Oh, that's us. Cool. Do you like that picture? Standing there with oil dripping down so much that it's, for the ladies who haven't got beards, but running through your hair, and it's so unctuous and it's so thick, this oil is just running down, it's covering your clothes, and it's going right to the very edge of the tip of your garment and dripping off, so there's an overflow of oil running around your feet. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. Do you want the presence of the Holy Spirit to be so unctuous, so overflowing you, it just permeates? And can you imagine the fragrance coming up from this altar? Me, it's a wonderful fragrance, and it's just covered you head to toe, and it's dripping off the bottom. One of the conditions in scripture, clearly from this psalm, to achieve that level of anointing is that we actually dwell together with a united heart. It's not easy, but it's possible. And I've come to a bit later on another scripture in Ephesians that we'll look at. We're in it together. It's Romans 12. For through the grace given to me, I say to every one among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. As God has allotted to each a measure of faith, just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Oh, sorry about that. You stuck with me. Whether you like that or not. Because it says we're actually one and we're actually stuck together. And in Ephesians 4 we look at that. It says actually by every joint supplied. We're actually anchored in. It's interesting, this follows my favourite scripture actually, this Romans 12, about being transformed. I've got to get that in, haven't I? Being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may know what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable and perfect. And then he says, actually, having just said that, he comes to the point where he says, I've given faith to everyone. Little distressed one. He's given grace and a measure of faith to every single one. Do you feel like you have grace and faith in your life? No, obviously not. Well, the presence of God and his redeeming and saving power has guaranteed that you have grace and the favour of God in your life. And if we expand Romans 12 and go on, it says that part of that grace giving of God to you is an anointing in gifting in who you are. If you're an encourager, encourage. If you're a prophet, prophesy. If you give, give freely. I'm not going to go through them all. But it's there. Those are the gifts given here that he's talking about. And they're different. And each one of us has a different measure of those gifts. You probably operate in more than one. Two or three of them will be really who you are as a person, probably. And some of the others will go, oh, I don't relate to that. And then you bump into somebody who does and you go, whoa, yeah, don't get on with them. Someone who operates in the gift of mercy and in service and knows kindness bumps up against a prophet. Doesn't always work. Doesn't always come off very well. Prophets don't tend to express mercy quite so much. Or that's how we think of it anyway. Although that can change. That can change. But we're all given a mix of the gifts. And they're all there operating in the body. And we will only see the fullness of all of those gifts operating when we're all doing it together. And when each of us plays the part we're meant to play. When each of us plays that part that we're meant to play, the body will start functioning and we'll see the power of God coming through in our midst. I've written a phrase here. We are joined. You cannot live a Christian life in permanent isolation by choice and expect to grow. I'll read that one again for you. We are joined. You cannot live a Christian life in permanent isolation by choice and expect to grow. And I've said in permanent isolation, I've said by choice. Because there's some great saints of days of old who shut themselves off in the desert for months or years and things like that to get into the presence of God. But when they came out of that isolation, they came in real power and ministry and mercy and grace in giving good things to the world. But we're not the same. And one of the joys of not being the same is actually that when a prophet rubs up against a mercy ministry, the prophet becomes more merciful. And the merciful person becomes a little clearer in their thinking and the way they see people. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So if you've got any friends here, they might occasionally rub against you to sharpen you. That lifts your countenance to give glory to God. So there's times when we do rub and abrade against other people. And it's like, ow, ow, don't want to do that. But in doing it, we get sharpened and our countenance is lifted. because God is at work as iron sharpens iron. And we need good friends who help to sharpen us. Good friends that we trust and we love. We don't have to agree always with. Because if we're just in agreement with them, we're not going to get sharpened very much. We need someone who challenges us, helps us. We definitely need each other. So this is the bit in Ephesians 14. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him. Grow up. Grow up into all aspects, into him who is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working, which we've just been talking about, proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And it goes on and says, until we all become mature and attain the unity of the faith. A future goal. But we do want to be built up. This follows the whole, another set of giftings of the Holy Spirit, ministry giftings. He's given to the church, some as prophets, some as pastors, some as teachers, some as evangelists, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, that we might become mature. So there is a work to which we're called. There is a work of service which we're meant to do. We're meant to be bringing the gospel and the kindness of God to the people who live around us. To our neighbours, our friends, our family, our work colleagues, whatever it is, that's the work of service. The work of service is not putting out the chairs on a Sunday morning, although that feels like it. But that isn't the work of service. The work of service is to bring the kingdom of God into the place where we are. And the way we get equipped for that work of service is by the ministry of the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the pastors, the evangelists. But it's done in the context of us being in the body where we are joined. And you will grow when it's every joint supplying. And like we said, people have got to be who they are. You can't come along and say, I don't want to be joined. You've got to be joined to a body somewhere, otherwise you're not going to be equipped for the work of service. You're not going to be effective in the kingdom. You'll be saved, praise God. But when it comes to having the abundant life of Christ manifested in you, to his power, his glory, that Jesus may receive the reward of his sufferings, then we need to be equipped and growing towards the work of service, which we do for one another and with one another. Are you being supplied by every joint? I think I like to be selective. It's an awful admission, but it's true. And I shouldn't be. There's people that you feel more readily, easily to be fed by, be encouraged by. And then someone else you don't know so well or you struggle with comes and actually offers a word to you, which could be the word of God, but you don't feel ready to take it necessarily. But it says every joint supplies. It's every joint supplies. And being fitted into the body and being there, we all have a place. We all have a place that everyone else is relying on. It says if one part of the body is hurt, then the whole body hurts. And we've got to understand that as we grow together, there's a way to do it that we'll see God work in our midst. Another bit from Corinthians. Now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, it's much truer to say that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honourable, on these we bestow more abundant honour. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Isn't that powerful? It's easy to honour someone who stands behind a pulpit and teaches, or someone who's brilliant with a musical instrument, or someone who just really looks good and speaks well and stuff like that, and say, oh, it's just fantastic to have this person. And we have an honour system in this country. Not all countries have that, where we give out OBEs and MBEs and knighthoods to people who've achieved great things. And I think that's good. But actually, the life of the kingdom is different. We should give honour, it says here, to those Well, that's obviously the ones who honour would be given to. Why is that? Because they were created in the image of God, called by him, sealed by his Spirit, given grace and ministry gifts. And you say, oh, but they're not moving in them. Well, perhaps they never will if we don't encourage them and believe for that and speak into that. I want to be able to see every single one of you through the eyes of God. Jesus said he does nothing but what he sees the Father doing. I'll expand that a little bit more in a minute. When we honour people, we lift them up. It's clearly what this scripture is telling us. When we honour people, we lift them up. And I want to lift everyone up so that we actually in a place where we reflect and shine the glory of God in our midst. Quote in another book, this is a sentence from Christy Wimber, actually. It says, it takes more courage and has more effort to reach out for the Father's heart for each other. It takes more courage and more effort to reach out for the Father's heart for each other. It takes no effort to see weakness, to see fault, to see difficulties. In fact, we just do it so easily. It's thrown at us every single day on the news. So this morning there was a deputy speaker of the house. He's arrested and it's all over the news. Great to find fault in somebody, isn't it? So see, there you go. Gets what he deserves, whatever it is. And just numerous stories like that on the news continually. We're trained by society to look for weakness in others and pull them down. We set celebrities up and idolise them and wait for them to fall. So the press can take lots of photographs and have a field day about the misery of their broken lives. It takes much more courage to reach out for the Father's heart for those people and see what God sees in people's hearts. Jesus always looked to the Father. And I haven't got the scripture up here, but the terrific example is if we were looking in John 4, when Jesus goes to the woman at the well who was a Samaritan. This is awesome. She's out in the middle of the day because she was kind of spurned by others because she wasn't living a very moral life. Jesus goes and speaks to this woman. Why? Because he wants to tell her she's immoral and needs to repent. This is one of the few people he reveals himself to and says, I am the Messiah. This is one of the few people he explains what worship is, that it comes in spirit and in truth, and that God is going to give this to his people. People would have looked at Jesus right then and said, what is he doing talking to a woman? For a start off in that culture. Oh no. But it's not just a woman. It's a Samaritan woman. What is he thinking about? Oh, now all the negative thinking gets going. All the people looking on. Yeah, see, we knew he was a loser. Because talking to a woman, it's a Samaritan. And everybody knows she's living in sin. What do you think he's doing talking to her? He's doing what he sees the Father doing. That he saw in this woman an evangelist and the power of revival to change the town in which she lived. And Jesus spoke to that person. He spoke to the evangelist. He spoke to the person upon whom the Spirit of God would fall to bring revival into her town. That's who he spoke to. He made it clear he knew about where she was at. And said, change it. But he could have endured shame, criticism, all kinds of things. But he took the risk to see what he saw in the Father's eyes when he looked at this woman. We would have just walked past. We would have gone, yeah, she's the one who's been living with different fellas, yeah. It's not good to be seen talking to her. Might damage my reputation as this or that. Although in our society it's less an issue, but in that society, that was a big deal. Big deal. But that's what Jesus did. That's how he lived. And we need to find and catch God's heart for others so that we begin to learn where honour is due. James says this in chapter 2. Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonoured the poor man. It's not the rich, is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you to court? Now he's talking about wealth, but we can expand that to different kinds of wealth. Those who are poor in spirit, those who are humble, those who are broken. And he's saying, church, you got yourself mixed up here. You're giving honour to the wrong people. You've got to see what God is doing. You're judging things by world standards. And James is showing us that our system of thinking is flawed. We look at this scripture sometimes and think it's just about children and how nice it is. This is Matthew 18. So he called the child to himself and set him before him and said, truly, I say, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So he's using the child as an example, not just about children. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it will be better for him to have a heavy millstone or hung around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks. We've just seen one in James. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks will come. Jesus says, I know you're going to find those. You're going to stumble over them. You're going to trip. But woe to the man through whom the stumbling block comes. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. That was a culture then, and sometimes I think our culture is like it now. We don't honour children particularly well. They're a nuisance. Get them out of the way. Especially if they're crying and I can't hear. Can be a nuisance. We love our kids when they're ours, or our grandkids and stuff like that. But it's not always that we find honour. But Jesus isn't just talking about children. He's talking about a cultural response to those who were ignored within the culture, to those to whom honour wasn't given. And he's saying, when you do it to the least, when you come to the least and give them honour, things will change. You'll become kingdom-minded. You'll enter into kingdom thinking. Because he says, if you ever receive one of these little ones in my name, you receive me. Do you want to be receiving Jesus into your life? I should hope so. And it's not easy for us to see the ones that we actually should be honouring. Our eyes immediately go to those who it's obvious to honour. And we need to say, Father, I need to see with your eyes. I need to train my value system to learn to honour that which you honour. Children's angels behold the Father's face continually. Isn't that awesome? On cue. Hallelujah. Her angels behold the Father's face continually. That's how much honour God has for the child. It's a challenge. The fruit of godly honour. Hallelujah. Matthew 10. This is a principle in scripture that we begin to understand it. Takes a bit of time to get this one in. It says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. And see how this links to the other scripture. If you're prepared to reach out to even the least, there is reward. I believe the kingdom of heaven is that there are rewards in the kingdom life. It says those who come to God must believe that he is, and believe that he is what? A rewarder of those who seek him. But here, he's also mentioning ministry. Actually, if you see someone who's got a ministry gifting, even if it's not fully fledged and fully operating, but if you receive them to yourself in that manner, you can start to inherit the fruit of their ministry. You can inherit the fruit of their gifting. So, I'm not a natural evangelist, right? You might guess I'm a teacher, mostly, kindly, sort of. And actually, it doesn't mean I shouldn't do the work of service and do evangelistic work. Doesn't let me off, does it? I could say, well, I'm a teacher, so I'm here to equip the saints for the work of service. But I'm also a saint, so I have a work of service to do. And so what I need to do when I know that I don't easily flow in evangelism is get alongside Michelle, who does move in evangelism, and honour Michelle's gift, and actually say, if I honour that gift and I encourage Michelle in that gift and actually support her and pray for her and give her honour in that way by doing that, guess what? I'll share in the fruit of her gifting, because I'll learn to become more like that. It's good, isn't it? So you want some different gifting. You want to grow in different gifting, then start to honour people around you with different gifting. Because the scriptural principle says you can actually receive the reward of that ministry. You see someone moving in healing? Then in your heart, give on to that. Say, I humble myself before. I want to learn from that. And guess what? You'll be praying for the sick. He said, well, I don't have a ministry of healing. Praise God. Because God does it. It's his power that does it. It's his love that does it. It's his kindness and his goodness that does it. Through the body which is joined. We haven't prayed for anybody this week who's sick. Can do afterwards if we need to. But the point is, you've seen me pray for a number of people. That's not the point. It's about the body praying for people. It's about us having an anointing, a corporate anointing upon this fellowship to share the ministry of God to this neighbourhood. There's an anointing available to us all. And it doesn't have to reside, neither should it reside, in one person. So I want to give honour in humility to those I see who do things that I can't do. Spoke about Marie. Sorry, Marie, I'm going to embarrass you. Spoke about Marie in house group the other week about her acts of kindness. She beavers around and does little things, acts of kindness. Those things don't come easily in my head. I don't see stuff like that. So if I can honour Marie and watch Marie in operation, I can learn to be a bit kinder, a bit more thoughtful, a bit more ready to give goodness to people. Honour. Honour what God is doing in people, and you will receive its reward into your life. And actually, ultimately, who are we doing it for? For Jesus. When we see in the one in front of us the eyes of Jesus looking back, and we know it's for that one, we can suddenly have a heart transformed. But it comes out of being joined, being part of, being in one. Not one theology. Goodness, we'll never get it right if we try and think of one theology. We'll never get our heads together. But one in spirit. One in spirit. And Jesus will come with an anointing and a gifting in the midst of us that will give him glory and honour. It's one of those things that remains, you know, honour. In Revelation it says, to him be glory, honour and power. Dominion. Those are things that belong. These are the things that go on. They're eternal. Eternal values that we can bring into our lives. But it starts in how we look at one another. That we start to look and say, Lord, Father in heaven, give me your eyes to see what you see in people. And I've been praying over weeks now, saying, Lord, I just need to grow in this, because it isn't something that comes naturally to me. And I was really, really grateful for the other week when I was standing at the back and Caroline's Matthew was here with his little boys. And the Lord said to me, I'm really thrilled with the joy he has in his children. And I said, yeah, it's great, isn't it? I said, well, tell him. And I suddenly realized the Lord had shown me how to honor something in someone. How to honor something that was good. So that that could be shared and given to others. I think Matt felt quite pleased about that at that time. Which is good. Because he does such joy in his children. It's lovely. And he was thinking of all the ways he could pray for somebody else to do that. And straight away, it took him into ministry mode. Wow. Wow. That's awesome, isn't it? Isn't that what we want to do for one another? We might not agree with everybody. We might not think the same as everybody. Praise God. We're all different. Sometimes we'll offend and upset each other. Kind of goes with the territory. It's a bit of iron sharpening iron stuff. But we just need to be quick to set things right. To make sure that we're just bringing healing. Knowing that actually I'm dependent on this one I am joined to. And it isn't joined like, well, I'm just going to hold on to the end of your finger daintily so I can let go. Think about being locked arm to arm, arm threaded through arm, locked in, every joint supplied. It can be a safe place. It can be a safe place if we honour one another. If you know that people are looking for what is good in you and want to encourage and build that up, it's safe then to try things out and take risk. If we think we're just going to get shot down, we're not going to do it. And the Lord wants the people here who are going to take risk. They're going to step out to go with the word of God to those outside. A word of prophecy, a word of knowledge, a word of healing, a word of grace gifting to people outside that will see the kingdom of God expand beyond these walls. But he's given us a safe place, should be, safe place where we can grow with every joint supplying. I pray that you will just hear what the Lord is saying to you in that. Like Paul right at the beginning in that Ephesians, I pray, I want to read that again. With this I'm going to finish. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, not just in you but in others, but know what is your calling. What are the riches of the glory, there's the glory again, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. I pray that's what you would know, a spirit of revelation and wisdom in him, that you would know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory. I want to see his glory. And the more I read Ephesians 1, I saw how much his glory comes into that chapter. It's amazing. It's glory in grace, glory in his praise, glory in his inheritance. There's the glory of God in him speaking into his body, saying, you were chosen. You were thought of. You were gifted. And grace is lavished upon you. It's a wonderful word. Thick and unctuous, like the anointing of the Spirit. Grace is poured upon you in just such abundance. Do you know, we spend so much of our lives trying to do stuff. thinking if we do a bit more of this or do a bit more of that, then God will do this and God will work. Now, grace just says, I love you. Actually, you don't have to do anything for me. I love you. Because I made you and I love you. And I made you because I loved you and because I wanted you and I wanted you who you are. And I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. But I've messed up. I love you. I'm not doing all the things I should, but I love you. Can't earn any more of his grace. You can't earn any more of his love by doing. He just is. God's love just is. And even this week, I just realized there's some stuff where I just got to the point of trying again. Just trying again instead of just, Lord, you love me. And that's it. It's good enough. You love me. That's how I finished the last one, wasn't it? Singing, I know you love me. I know you love me. Bask in that moment. The abundance of his grace that he lavishes upon us. That we will be one as he is one, he prays. And that's not us being one here, being one with him. One with him because he loves you. Fall into his love. Fall into his goodness. Know his kindness and his mercy towards you. And see the glory of the inheritance of his saints, which is in Christ Jesus. Look at one another and say, you are Christ's inheritance, and the glory of God is going to be manifested through you. You might want to say that to somebody as we leave. You might feel embarrassed to say that, but you are the glory of Christ. Hallelujah. We'll finish with that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me just commit you to the Lord. Lord, as we go, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just show what your heart wants to reveal to people today. To let your love be known in hearts. To let your grace and kindness be seen in our lives. That you will be glorified. You lifted up, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Be lifted up. Jesus, be lifted up in us, in our lives as we go from here. Help us, Lord, to be the body that you want us to be. Bring revival. Pour out your spirit. Let us know your goodness. Amen, amen, amen.